My name is Liz Kirkus from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA Catskill and Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we will hear about the New York State Climate Action Council, which met May 26 to review the progress to develop a scoping plan to implement the state's climate law that was enacted 3 years ago. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate and radio news about 5G technology bringing down planes out of the sky. All starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. Controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First, E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thalia Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Live Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Steve Hughes reports for the Times Union that a lawsuit has been filed against Albany Medical Center based on allegations of racial and political bias at the health facility. Albany Med fired Jamaica Miles, a local community activist, as well as two executives who played a role in hiring her less than a month after she joined the staff. Hospital executives had expressed concerns about Miles' political views and outspoken advocacy, according to the lawsuit filed this week in State Supreme Court in Albany. According to the lawsuit, Miles was hired earlier in this year to serve as Albany Med's Director of Community Engagement. She's a Schenectady-based activist involved in racial and social justice protests throughout the Capital Region, an active member of the Working Families Party, and a member of the Schenectady City School Board. Her hiring was part of a renewed commitment the hospital was pushing to engage with communities of color. But once top officials at the hospital learned of Miles' selection for the position, they moved to dismiss her, citing, quote, extreme political views, unquote. According to the lawsuit filed by Miles and Laura Liebman, the hospital's former assistant vice president of advancement, who was also terminated. James Kellerhaus, the hospital foundation's vice president for philanthropy and chief development officer, was also fired, but is not a party to the lawsuit. Miles and Liebman's complaint alleges the hospital and its leadership, including CEO Dr. Dennis McKenna and Dr. Vincent Verdeel, dean emeritus at the hospital's medical college, violated the state's human rights and labor laws by dismissing them. The lawsuit also alleges racial bias. Albany Med issued a statement defending its actions and denied it fired Miles for any of the reasons included in the complaint. Quote, Albany Med recently made personnel changes in its development department that had nothing at all to do with race of any employee, unquote, the statement reads. Quote, Albany Med is a bridge builder. We are caregivers and unifiers bringing together diverse populations for the betterment of all. Albany Med is proud of our diverse workforce, which is reflective of the community we serve, and we are committed to the highest standards of equality and fairness in employment opportunities for all, unquote. Miles declined to comment beyond what is in the lawsuit. Quote, everything that needs to be said is within the filings of the court documents, unquote, she said. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Thomas Frank reports for CNBC that New York-based Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer failed to pass legislation introduced after the mass shooting of blacks at a grocery store in Buffalo 2 days after a mass shooting of elementary school children in Texas. Frank wrote, Schumer, and I quote, pleaded with his Republican colleagues on Wednesday to consider the bill, end quote, but to no avail. The vote on the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act was 47-47. With the Senate's odd rules favoring the minority by requiring 60 votes to pass the legislation. On May 18th, the U.S. House of Representatives voted for the bill 222-203, with Democrats Paul Tonko, Sean Maloney, and Antonio Delgado on the record in favor, and Republican Elise Stefanik voting against. Delgado did not actually vote for the bill, as he turned over his vote on May 10th to Colorado Representative Joe Neguse, claiming he was, and I quote, unable to physically attend proceedings in the House chamber due to the ongoing public health emergency, end quote. Delgado resigned May 25th to become New York's lieutenant governor without announcing any COVID infection. While Schumer was ineffective in passing legislation to slow the spate of mass shootings on May 25th, he did block a Republican bill he said, and I quote, could see more guns in school, end quote. The Luke and Alex School Safety Act that Schumer blocked was about collecting data to increase the presence of law enforcement on school campuses. Schumer tweeted, and I quote, the truth, there were officers at the school in Texas. The shooter got past them. We need real solutions. We will vote on gun legislation, starting with the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act, end quote. And that vote failed. Read more about this story at the CNBC website.
Noah Eckstein reports for Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Planning Board has approved the site plan for Upper Depot Brewing at 708 State Street. The Upper Depot Brewing Company is slated to open this summer or fall. Brewery co-founder Montgomery Bopp said, quote, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but we are pushing to get open for as much of the summer as possible, unquote. The opening depends on receiving a certificate of occupancy and having the equipment that is needed up and working. The Galvin Foundation owns the property where the brewing company will be located. 2019, Bopp, 34, and his business partner Aaron Moss, 32, signed a five-year lease with the Galvin Foundation. Quote, we hope to be there for 10 years at least, unquote, Bopp said. Both men have committed to keeping the ingredients for their beer as locally sourced as possible. Moss, a resident of Stockport, said they will obtain grain from Germantown and hops from a farm in Kinderhook. When the brewery opens, it will operate as a tasting room, and there are also plans to collaborate with the city to hold live music events. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that on May 25th, a federal court turned back a legal challenge to a New York State law that makes it easier to bring lawsuits against gun manufacturers. New York Attorney General Letitia James said, and I quote, "As we mourn the deaths of 19 innocent children lost to gun violence in Uvalde and the countless more in Buffalo and across America every day, this is a moment of light and hope. New York is proud to defend the right to reasonable gun restrictions that protect all of us. As public officials, we were elected to solve problems and address the needs of the people. Prayers alone will no longer do, and cowardliness is not part of the job description. New York will always lead, and I urge others with a backbone to follow," end quote. The celebration will most likely be short, as the radical Supreme Court is expected to soon strike down New York's strict concealed gun carry provision. Governor Kathy Hochul said on May 25th that she would call a special legislative session this summer to address the ruling if the law is overturned. In the final weeks of New York's current legislative session, Democrats are expected to tighten the state's red flag law meant to keep guns away from people deemed to be a danger. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Patricia Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that former State Senator Jen Metzger has added her name to the list of Democrats who have declared their intention to run for Ulster County Executive should Pat Ryan win election to Congress. Metzger from Rosendale now sits on the State Cannabis Control Board. She announced her candidacy in a tweet May 25th stating, quote, "Should Pat Ryan represent us in Congress, I will run for Ulster County Executive. The opportunities for our county to be a model of people-centered, sustainable economy are incredibly exciting, and I would welcome the chance to bring my experience to this important job," unquote. County Comptroller March Gallagher and Deputy County Executive Mark Ryder have also announced their plan to seek the Democratic Party endorsement to become county executive if Ryan is elected to Congress. Gallagher announced her candidacy almost immediately after Ryan announced his plans. In her statement, she said she has worked with the executive and legislature to implement, quote, important changes, unquote, in county government. Ulster County Democratic Elections Commissioner Ashley Dittus said that under state election laws, the parties will choose who will be on the ballot for the special election at party conventions. No Republicans have yet announced their plan to run for county executive. Ryan is running in a special August 23rd election against Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro for the 19th Congressional District seat vacated by now Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado. The winner of the special election will serve in Congress through the end of the year. If Ryan wins, a second special election would be held, this one in late December, to fill the remainder of Ryan's term as county executive, which expires December 31st, 2023. Win or lose in August, Ryan will run again in November for election to the newly drawn 18th Congressional District, and Molinaro will run in November for the newly drawn 19th Congressional District. But if Ryan loses in August and wins in November, he would remain county executive through the end of December, and a special election would be held in April to fill the remainder of his term. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Emily Munson in the Times Union tracks the 76 school shooting incidents since 1971 in New York. That number comes from the Advanced Thinking in Homeland Security program at the U.S. Naval Postgraduate School Center for Homeland Security and Defense, which counts a school shooting incident, and I quote, "when a gun is brandished, is fired, or a bullet hits school property for any reason, regardless of the number of victims, time of day, or day of week," end quote. By definition, there have been four shootings at New York schools this year, in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Buffalo, and Mount Vernon. Of the known cases since 1971, 33 of the perpetrators were between 13 and 17 years old, and four were 18 years old, and eight were 21 years of age or older. Handguns were used in most of these incidents, with rifles used in four cases. Munson writes, and I quote, "The 76 incidents produced 97 victims, most of them male students who were wounded. In nearly all the incidents, one or two people were injured or killed," end quote. FBI records say there were 10 active shooting incidents in New York from the year 2000 through the year 2019. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, a chance of showers, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature high near 78 degrees. Showers and possibly a thunderstorm are expected on Friday night with a temperature low of around 63 degrees. And on Saturday, likely showers and possibly thunderstorms again. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 75 degrees. And Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. Then a slight chance of showers between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, May 27th, tune into all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at noon. After the local news, Jared Wigeshud is live in Hudson in the WGXC studio on Warren Street in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church with the Sugar Shack Jukebox with all sorts of funk, R&B, rock, pop, and more, and all sorts of new music. There's also more new music at 3 p.m. on a new music review. At 4 p.m., we're live from Acre with the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 6 p.m., we're live from Catskill on Main Street with Clubhouse Radio and the teenagers there playing their songs and telling their stories. At 7 p.m., we hear Hudson teenagers talk about what they've been reading on the Bound by Books program. And then it's local music for 2 hours at 8 with Hudson Valley Sounds. And then DJ Var is live from Hudson at 10 p.m. with the Friday Night Vibe session on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Monday, May 30th is Memorial Day, and Porcupine Soup rounds up where there are events for the holiday in Greene County. Windham has a memorial program at 9 a.m. Friday, May 27th, starting at the Windham Ashland Jewett Central School front bus loop, then heading to the Ashland Cemetery, Windham Cemetery, and Hensonville Monument near the town hall. On Memorial Day itself, there are events in Athens, Greenville, Cairo, New Baltimore, Coxsackie, and Plattsville. In Athens, a parade starts at 9 a.m. on May 30th at Wheat Street, Route 385, with stops at the Triangle to lay wreath, and then proceeds up Franklin Street to TGM American Legion Post 187 with speakers and refreshments. Greenville's parade begins at 10:15 a.m. at St. John's Church, then heads down State Route 81 into the hamlet with a memorial service following the parade at Greenville Veterans Park Gazebo. Cairo's parade steps off at 11 a.m. near Schindler's Auto Shop on Main Street and heads to Angelo Cana Town Park with a memorial service with American Legion Mohican Post 983. There is also a Memorial Day ceremony at 11 a.m. at the Coyman's Hollow Fire Department, 1290 Route 143. Coxsackie's parade begins at 1 p.m. on Apple Blossom Lane and proceeds down Mansion Street with stops at the World War II Monument, the Mansion Street Cemetery, and the World War I Monument at the church corners before ending at Village Hall. And Prattsville's Virgil E. Deo American Legion Post 1327 hosts an annual Memorial Day parade at 1 p.m. with a Memorial Day ceremony to follow at the town green.
You're listening to the test site of Acoustic Commons, available at wavefarm.org/listen or on any wgxc.org webpage if you click on the listen button. The test site of Acoustic Commons is a microphone in the Wavefarm woods that lets you overhear the sounds of nature, the live weather on the radio at wavefarm.org/listen or click on any wgxc.org webpage. Click on the listen button to hear the sounds in the woods at Wave Farm through the test site of Acoustic Commons.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, May 27th. Early this morning, temperatures range from 60 degrees up in Twilight Park to 64 down in Hammertown. Soil temperature is a very comfortable, well, comfortable for seedlings anyway, 63 degrees. Cornell Cooperative says heat stress risk today is moderate for lower parts of the valley. That means 2 to 4 hours of stressful time can be expected today. These risks disappear over the weekend. Today, get your chores done in the morning because this afternoon gets rainy, kicking up storms in some places. A high of 77 happens at 3 p.m. Overnight, the rain and storm chances continue as temperatures fall to 65 degrees. The dew point will be very close to this at 63 degrees, so expect it to be pretty muggy. Saturday, lingering rain and some thunder last most of the day, ending by 7 p.m. A high of 72 happens at noon. 55 degrees overnight takes us into a dry, sunny Sunday with a high of 81. Overnight cools to 58 degrees before heading into a hot Memorial Day with a high of 89. Storm season is at hand, with 21 named storms expected this year, and about 8 of them are expected to cause serious damage. It's a good time to think about preparing property for it. Trim and remove those trees, secure loose items. This can include anchoring trailers and boats to the ground. Check over that insurance policy and stock up on emergency supplies. It's a really good idea to have food and water available for each member of the household for at least a week, with a gallon of water being needed per person per day. Cell charger and radio are also good ideas, and don't forget important prescriptions and supplies for those pets. Pollen levels are going to be medium today due to the incoming rain. They will be low tomorrow and are expected to bounce back up on Sunday. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:37 a.m., low tide at 8:11 a.m. High tide again at 1:56 p.m. and low tide once again at 8:15 p.m. Again, that's for Friday. Today's river temperature will be 69 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:05 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:21 a.m. Looking way up, we see G1 class magnetic storms seem possible for Saturday as a coronal mass ejection gives a glancing blow to our planet. Solar wind speed is currently 309 kilometers per second at 37 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently far below 4 megahertz till dark, then far below 30 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 87. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Get out there and make the best of the weekend, everybody.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Economy of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Rock, 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 rock and roll.
Hi, this is Anya.
And this is Peter.
And we host a show called Rock and Roll High School.
On WGXC, first Monday of the month.
8 to 10 p.m. Tune in.
Tune in.
Ooh.
We did it at the same time.
Yeah.
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio live. And what do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. And, well, you're 40 and there's some kid half your age who will take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
Karen.
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 Thank you.
That was sound artist Zena Parkins and radio artist Jeff Kolar with the song Pulse from their 2020 collaboration called Scale.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We as a country are becoming desensitized to the murder of children.
2 days after a gunman stormed a Texas elementary school, killing 19 children and two teachers, Education Secretary Miguel Cardona said the time for thoughts and prayers is over. At a House hearing on the department's budget and priorities, Cardona emphasized students, teachers, and school leaders are scared.
We've held staff trainings, active shooter drills. We've numbered our windows for easier access for law enforcement. We've improved online early detection screening tools, and we've secured our entrances and perimeters. That is no match for what we're up against.
At a rally outside the U.S. Capitol, New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and other Democrats demanded gun control measures.
So it's just a moment of rage and fury and tears and anger. But you must motivate yourselves and take all that fury and channel it to the next election.
Republican John Cornyn of Texas has been tapped by party leaders to work on bipartisan legislation to reduce gun violence.
So I'm actually interested in what we can do to make the terrible events that occurred in Uvalde less likely in the future.
However, Senate Republicans voted Thursday against a domestic terrorism bill, which would have opened debate on gun safety and hate crimes. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky argued politically motivated violence is already covered under the law.
The Democrats' message, hate the police, defund the police are terrible people, the military are terrible people, to slander the military and the police as racist and white supremacists, it has been roundly rejected by the American people and will continue to be.
Election officials in Pennsylvania are preparing to recount the contested Republican Senate primary between Dr. Mehmet Oz and former hedge fund executive David McCormick. Just over 900 votes separate the two. A New York appeals court ruled former President Donald Trump must sit for a deposition under oath. The New York Attorney General alleges in a civil investigation Trump misstated the values of assets and financial statements. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says China remains the greatest challenger to the United States and its allies, noting the country is integral to solving global challenges like climate change.
Climate is not about ideology. It's about math. There's simply no way to solve climate change without China's leadership, the country that produces 28% of global emissions.
Blinken said the administration is committed to intense diplomacy alongside intense competition. A former staffer told the House January 6th committee, then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows burned papers in his office after meeting with Republican Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania. Perry reportedly pushed Meadows to help challenge the results of the 2020 election. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wavefarm with the Daily Radio News. ProPublica takes a deep dive into the rollout of 5G wireless technology and how that affected airplanes. Federal Aviation Administration objected to the Federal Communication Commission's authorization of 5G networks near airports, but the story paints both agencies as incompetent industry toadies. There's no problem with the 5G technology, but with the altimeters of planes. They are often older and not designed for our new digital world with more radio signals whizzing all around. The FAA was concerned that altimeters on planes used in automated aircraft landings would accidentally receive 5G radio signals and not give pilots proper readings. Aviation experts warned of, quote, catastrophic failures leading to multiple fatalities, unquote, the story says. In January, an agreement was struck with Verizon and AT&T temporarily not turning on more than 600 5G transmission towers near the runways of 87 airports and reducing the power of others. ProPublica traced the entire story, revealing, quote, profound failures, unquote, at the FCC. On July 5th, the temporary agreement expires, but aviation officials say that it would take 2 years to replace the older altimeters. Quote, the rhetoric of the FCC chief is almost identical to that of the industry she regulates. As recently as last month, Jessica Rosenworkel, the Biden-appointed FCC chair, dismissed aviation concerns as, in effect, a shakedown, a ploy to get telecom companies to fund a nationwide upgrade of airplane equipment, unquote, the story says. Even if another agreement is struck in July, quote, T-Mobile and other wireless companies are approved to roll out additional 5G service at the end of 2023 using a C-band frequency even closer to the one used by the airplane safety equipment, unquote, ProPublica reports. Quote, the wireless companies have made it very clear they're not going to agree to an open-ended situation, unquote, one FAA official told ProPublica. Quote, they seem willing to go past July 5th as long as they know how far past, but they're making it clear their patience is not infinite, unquote. Read the entire Publica story on the Wavefarm newsroom at wavefarm.org.
This old belt in Texas, yeah. Well, lean a little closer into the salted fudge and walk into a lake of diesel, coke, and sludge. Yeah, here lies Bucky, baited but alive, and Bucky's got a problem. Bucky's got a problem. Bucky's got a problem. Bucky's got a problem.
That was 2020 new music from Quintron and Miss Pussycat, the song called Bucky's Got a Problem. And you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock live from Wave Farm in Greene County in Acre anytime. Go to wavefarm.org/listen or wgxc.org and click on the listen button and scroll down for Quintron's Weather Warlock, turning the changes in the weather into synthesized sounds. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
The Climate Action Council will spend most of its time in 2022 developing the scope and plan on how to implement the state's climate law adopted 3 years ago. The council met on May 26 to review the dozen public hearings that they held in the last 2 months. Around 700 people testified with another 18,000 written comments. Peter Iwanowicz of Environmental Advocates said that 83% of the comments at the hearings were positive about the plan. Much of the opposition came from fossil fuel workers and companies that oppose the phase-out of gas. We hear from Council's Executive Director, Sarah Osgood, and then comments from several of the Council members. Basil Sagos, DEC Commissioner, also pointed out that the hearings related to disadvantaged communities have not been well attended.
Approximately 700 people spoke in total at the hearings.
In general, we heard support for the direction of the plan in terms of, you know, needing to take action on our climate goals. But there were also more themes within that. I would say first and foremost, we heard significant emphasis that was placed on the importance of environmental justice and equity. Commenters also expressed an interest in more financial incentives to assist with the transition, such as property tax deferrals or net metering. Several comments were made about the plan lacking funding sources or detailed timelines with clear milestones. And we also continued to hear concerns over potential job losses, affordability of electricity and the transition, and the use of green hydrogen. We also heard some themes that were unique based on locations of the public hearings. Public health impacts were discussed quite a lot in the more urban hearings, as well as the virtual hearings. We also heard more concerns voiced about the reliability of electricity due to the colder climate and electric vehicle implementation in upstate. And we also heard land management concerns focused on parks and green space in the urban hearings and reforestation and forest management in the upstate hearings. I would say another really important piece that we started to hear throughout the hearings, we heard a lot of commenters emphasizing the importance of the public's awareness of the scoping plan process. And we had numerous suggestions to launch community educational and outreach campaigns to support that.
We hear from Paul Shepchen, Dean of the School of Marine and Atmospheric Sciences at Stony Brook University.
Expression of concern about loss of livelihood by various communities. As you know, there's a very substantial union presence there. The implication, in part, to me, was that the implementation and the impacts would be immediate, that all of a sudden we would have 9 gigawatts of offshore wind, for example. And I think there's a misunderstanding there about the time scale for implementation that is just for something as complex as offshore wind, as community solar and everything that is going to be done. Is going to be very gradual, giving lots of people lots of time to adjust and retrain and so on. And then misrepresentation I see is ongoing. And one of you mentioned the word reliability. I think the word reliability is very intentionally presented as a way of expressing the improper idea that renewable energy will not be reliable. And I don't accept that that will be the case. In fact, it cannot be the case for the CLCPA that installation of renewable energy will be unreliable. It cannot be. Those are just two examples of misunderstanding and misrepresentation of reality, some of which is intentional, that remind me, as I expressed very early on in this process, that we desperately need, as an integral part of this effort, to engage the public and do PR. I mean, presenting the facts far and wide with all of New York, including the results of the economic analysis, cost-benefit analysis needs to be shouted from the hilltops. We really need an extensive PR effort. I'm going to be very blunt. There is very active, direct, and intentional misinformation aimed at, as I heard in Brooklyn, stopping or slowing this down. Where there is misrepresentation and misinformation, it is part of our success that we correct it.
Next is Donna DeCarolis, president of National Fuel Gas Distribution Corporation.
I feel like we heard, and you said this, Sarah, general consensus around the importance of reducing emissions and the priority around that. But I heard a lot of lack of consensus around the time frame. Some thought too slow. Others think too fast, you know, and to what degree. I think you hit it also. What struck me is the regional differences. I wasn't in person in any of the downstate meetings, but I listened to them. Very different perspectives from different regions. And I think we've talked about that as a council. here in our region, a lot of concern about ability to electrify and given the cold climate. A strong presence by labor, and I really appreciate it. I mean, our own unions, utility unions were there, leadership as well as frontline employees. Something that stuck with me came out of the Buffalo meeting, which was an individual just saying, I work on the power grid, and this isn't just going to be difficult. It's not going to just be challenging. It will be impossible. And I'm part of a lot of opinions about how do we get this done.
Next is Bob Howarth, professor at Cornell University.
I heard universal enthusiasm for needing to deal with climate change, and clearly there's, you know, some views that maybe we're moving too fast, although that was not in the majority of any of the hearings. I want to echo what both Basil and Paul said, though, that there's a lot of fear and some confusion, and I think in some cases, many cases perhaps, that is based on misinformation. We have information, you know, in our Climate Action Council and in the panel deliberations, which would counter much of that information and help ease the fears. And so, you know, I think reliability would be one of those. I mean, clearly one can run 100% renewable grid with reliability. It needs to be done carefully, but the state isn't going to do it unless we do it carefully. And we're engaged in making sure that'll happen. The heat pumps in cold climates, heat pumps work just fine in cold climates. There's abundant evidence on that. And so people who are afraid that they won't, that's just misinformation, and we need to counter that. So I agree with Paul. We need to be more aggressive on that. I don't know if I'd call it PR. I'd call it a public education plan. I agree, maybe engagement is a better word, but I think we need to really get this information out, and I think we need to be more formal about it than just each individually through our groups. We need to communicate, you know, how much we've already pulled together in terms of facts and solutions to the concerns, and we need to do it pretty aggressively because there are obvious forces out there that are working to counter message with misinformation.
We hear from Ann Reynolds, Executive Director of Alliance for Clean Energy in New York.
I think it's important in our finalization of the plan to communicate that even though this transformation we're talking about is rapid by historical standards, we are talking about 28 years. I think we need to recognize that people's fears are real and try to respond to them with facts. And I also heard, of course, a lot of support for a just transition and equity. But I think the fear part of it highlighted the need for a smooth transition as well as a just transition. So if we can find ways to smooth over these changes and communicate to people the timescale that we're talking about, I think that will take care of some of the agitation and concerns. When you get past all that, though, I do think there's real disagreement on a few questions. I thought the remaining controversy after you got rid of that misinformation was pace of transition of the gas system and the role of methane from waste and hydrogen. And so I think it's good that we have these subgroups that are going to tackle those two questions.
One thing, unfortunately, that was not mentioned by the council members was the reality that the United Nations and the IPCC says that the world governments, including New York, are moving far too slow to avoid climate collapse, and we must act now. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather, which isn't so good for solar panels the next 2 days, but there will be something for the local windmills. Friday, scattered showers are possible throughout the day and chance of thunderstorms between 1 and 3 p.m. and also after 3 p.m. with mostly cloudy skies, a high of 75 and a south wind 9 to 11 miles per hour. Friday night, also a chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm. There's a 90% chance with a south wind 8 to 11 miles per hour and a low around 61. Saturday, the rain continues, possibly a thunderstorm again between 2 and 5 p.m. Then it turns partly sunny with a high of 71, a west wind increasing to 9 to 14 miles per hour in the morning with wind gusts as high as 24 miles per hour and a high around 71, low around 52 Saturday night. And then Sunday is sunny with a high of 77 and a low of 57. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Here's a 2010 track from Cut Chemist. The song is called West Side from the Sound of the Police record.
we are here again to do the best side out of this show. Everybody over there, get up. Wait, get up, get up, get up, get up. We'll be right back.
jaga eke toro gbe to bibi amo ma igbe to ja ero kan do gba kamiya wero je mo kamiya wero je mo de na dama ka do kamiya jaga o tu e da do fo ilu pe to danu me la ba me la ku gbe to le ka fo godo dago danu me la ba me la ku gbe to le ka fo godo dago yo di dane e ma so mo gba da to run go wo mo o da to run go